And I have just a couple of more things I want to mention, and then we will wrap this up prayerfully here tonight. And the Lord will certainly help us. It's good to have Kenneth Gordon and his wife, Sister Gordon, with us here. Love them very much. And he is one of our very own. We wiped his nose when snot ran out of it. Slapped him on the back of the head when he ran down the aisles. Rudely as a child. But now he's grown up. And he went and assisted another brother out of this church, Brother Dwayne Cornelius, who's now pastoring in Tennessee. And Brother Kenneth and Sister Crystal were the assistant pastors there, or assistant to the pastor, and now they are with another church somewhere still in Tennessee, I believe, working up there. But he is back home for, I'm assuming, Thanksgiving holidays. And he will be ministering to us this coming Sunday, and you're going to enjoy that. Trust me, you're going to enjoy the word this Sunday. It'd be a great, great blessing to hear from this fine young man that has come right out of this church and preaching the gospel, him and his wife as well. We raised Crystal as well, right? It's Crystal, right? It's been a while, folks. She's been gone for years. She's got a sister around here somewheres who happens to be our drama director and married to our Sunday school director and heavily involved, praise singer, and all the other wonderful, wonderful things. Very heavily, heavily involved in the church. And do y'all have a baby yet, Kenneth? Y'all got like four of them, right? Three of them. Have three boys? Or any of them named Dan? Daniel? None of them are named Daniel? None of them have my name? Wow. Anyway, he was preaching Sunday. I don't sure what he's going to be doing now. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. To our guests, welcome. We're thankful that you are with us. If this is your first service with us, we're glad that you're here, and we pray that you are blessed by the power of the Lord and his word. So then faith cometh by hearing. Everybody say hearing. I want you to say faith cometh. So faith comes to you by the hearing of the word. But what we're going to find out tonight is you have to do something with that faith. See, when you hear the word, it shows up. Because nothing is impossible when it comes to the word of God. But when that faith shows up in my life, I have to do something with it. Amen? We're going to find out about that. The Lord help us. And hearing, of course, by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Father, touch us tonight with understanding, broaden our thinking, increase our knowledge. For when we have knowledge, we have power. Let the word become alive to us, Lord Jesus, alive in our life, as Pastor Sapp was mentioning earlier tonight, to take this out and to use it in this world. Enrich us, increase us tonight in the word of the Lord. Everybody say, amen. Turn to a few people around you and say, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Amen. You can be seated. So the Lord has been blessing us for a few weeks around here concerning faith. And The main subject, the main title of this subject is The Basics of Faith. And one of the essences in which we have been attempting to get across is that faith is not complicated. But we complicate faith. And if somehow tonight we can uncomplicate faith, if we can get a hold of the last few messages on this subject and realize how easy it is to actually put faith into action, which brings results. Faith comes to us simply by hearing. On Sunday, we learn that if we are lacking faith in an area, we need to get into the Word of God in that area of our life. And we need to study and read the Word of God, because the Word of God will activate faith inside of us and change us. We've learned that faith is wrapped up in every area of our life. In fact, the Bible says that anything outside of faith is, it is sin. Anything outside of faith is, amen, that's right. And that faith comes to us through the Word of God. And if we need God to be involved in something in our life, then we need to get the Word involved in that area of our life. I'm not going to be able to touch on this. There's so many levels to this teaching. And so maybe we'll revisit it at the beginning of next year, this coming year or something. But I do want to mention to us that one of the difficulties of faith is that when you get into the Word of God and you begin to apply Scripture to your situation, with that Scripture comes shouts and shout nots, do's and don't do's, goes and don't goes. And it's not so much the faith area, I think, a lot of times, as it is us lining up our lives with the Word of God so that we can truly walk in the Spirit and the faith can be activated. That's a subject within itself. If I need healing, then I can look at James chapter 5 and verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this is my Wednesday night crowd, so I can talk straight to you, right? Is that all right? You can handle it, right? Look at your neighbor and say, I can handle it. Now, we get phone calls all the time that says, Pastor, I was in the hospital for 2 days and nobody called me. Nobody came and visited me. So my first question is, did you let somebody know you were there? Or are we just supposed to hear from God with an audible voice that an angel comes down and visits me or something? Did you call the office? Well, no, but I thought you'd miss me on Sunday. So I didn't miss my own wife on Sunday. I was so busy. She didn't miss me either. She's running around doing her own thing. I'm doing my thing. And so, in all honesty, no, I did not miss you on Sunday. I didn't know whether you were there or were not there. But the responsibility is not mine. The responsibility is yours. The Bible says if you're sick, you call. Now, you know the beautiful thing about this scripture is that if everybody would obey it, nobody would ever be left out. If everyone would obey that scripture right there, no one would be left out. We found out, we got a phone call a few days ago. My wife and I were out somewheres, and I don't know if it was a text or a phone call, an email, I don't remember, but the information made its way to us. And we found out that one of our precious sisters, who we love very much and are very close to, had been in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. And so the first thing I have to do when I call is chew them out. I mean, there they are in the hospital, and I got to chew them out. What's the matter with you not calling me and letting me know that you're in the hospital? It's what we're here for. We want to be there and pray for you and send ministry to you. And when you come home after your surgery, we want to cook meals for you. We want to take care of you. We want to be the church. We want to be the body to you and in your time of need. That's what the church is all about. Being there for one another and helping one another and strengthening one another. But we don't obey the word of God. No wonder you're not healed. The Lord said, you want to be healed? Call for the elders of the church. They will anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith. If there be any sin, it'll be forgiven you, and God will raise you up off of your sick bed. Now that's the word of God. All right, I just wanted to stop and pastor a little bit. So if I need healing, I call for the elders. And there's many other scriptures. If I need provision, I can read Philippians 4 and 19. But my God shall supply all your need. Everybody say need. Not pleasures or luxuries. Now we know we serve a great God and we know he does that. Everybody in this room tonight lives in luxury. Don't compare yourself to me. I live in super luxury. But compare yourself to some Middle Easterns and find out how well you live. Compare yourself to some Haitians that are in Haiti or some Ethiopians that are in Africa, or the list goes on and on and on. I'm telling you, we live in luxury tonight. You better wake up. Look how weak that is. How about God take your car? How about God take your house? How about God take some of the things you have right now? You'll find out how much luxury you really live in. God is so far beyond our need, it's not even funny. He's not providing our needs. He's so far beyond that in blessing us. It's a good thing, Brother Sapp, you did what you did, because obviously I'm being mean tonight. So, if I have fear, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to learn to activate the word of God in our lives. You have a situation going on, don't call up your sister or your brother and boo-hoo to them. Get on your knees and open up the word of God and begin to speak the word of God into your life and into that situation and see what God will do. And then your phone call will be, man, I was going through such and such, and I remember that old crazy Cajun up there, and he was saying, get in the word and God will help you. And I opened up that book and I began to read, and I want you to know God did this for me and God did that and this is done. And now you're not having a boo-hoo session, you're having a testimony session. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got to get the word of God inside of our lives. Now look at Hebrews 4 and 2. We're going to try to get on to a few little new things here tonight. Just a couple of things I want to touch on here this evening. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now look at this. But the word preached. Now remember, faith does what? Faith cometh by the hearing of what? And so the gospel was preached, the word was preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. When you hear the word of God, faith is automatically going to come. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to strain and raise your blood pressure to make it happen. When the word of God enters your ears, or however, like Brother Sapp and I was talking, you know, the hear there is not really the physical hearing that the Bible's talking about, because you can be blind and run your fingers across that Braille word and your spirit will hear the word of God. The hear there is to receive the word of God into your life. However, whatever method that is. But when that word of God comes to you, faith is automatically going to arise. However, we have to take that faith that comes to us from the word of God, and we have to mix that faith in with the word in which it came from in the first place. And then we're going to see results. And the question is, how do we do that? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to make a statement here tonight. Everybody say it. Say, faith requires a response. Faith is not active in your life until you respond to it. That's right. It'll show up. It'll stand right in front of you. The word's been preached. Faith is there. But you have got to respond to what you have heard. And when you respond, faith becomes active in your life. Look at James chapter 2 and verse number 14. I'm going to read a few verses here. And I want you to follow down through this powerful word of God. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, the example that James is trying to give us, he is saying, just like you would say, be warm, but give them no cloak. Be fed, but give them no food. He said, there's no different that if even so faith, if you had faith, but you have no works. He said, if you have faith, but no works, your faith is dead being alone. Your response to faith activates faith in your life to work for you. Your work, your response to the word you heard, your response to the promise of the word of God becomes the catalyst in your situation that ignites your faith and causes it to become a flame, fire, and to consume whatever it is that needs to be consumed. So even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Look at verse number 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. James says this, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. the devils believe too, and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's what the preacher said earlier in this pulpit. It doesn't matter what you believe or how much faith you have in this incredible apostolic doctrine. Until you take it out of those doors and put it to work, it will have no results. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, you're a one God believer? That's great. The devil's a one God believer. He said, you want to have power in this faith that you have, in this powerful gospel that you have, then you have to respond to it with work. And when you respond to it with work, it will go to work for you, and the results will be mind-blowing. And can I tell you tonight, listen, when you respond to faith, you don't have to worry about you doing the work, you completing the job. When you respond to faith, when you put work to your faith, faith will take care of all of the results. He said, show me your faith without your works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Verse number 21. Well, he finishes in verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abram, my father, justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. My God, think about the power of that statement. Faith made perfect. I wonder what perfect faith could accomplish. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would be so. He was trying to say to them, it's not the amount of faith that you have. What you need is perfect faith. And what is perfect faith? Perfect faith is when you respond to what the Word of God said it will do. You bring perfection to your faith when you step out and say, okay, God, this is what your word said. Okay, God, I'm going to stand on it. Okay, God. My God, I wish somebody would get a hold of this because it'll change your life. Somebody shout perfect faith. Shout perfect faith. Say perfect faith is when I respond to the Word of God. So faith cometh when I hear it, but faith is perfected when I respond to it. Woo! My God, have mercy. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled. We've got to get a hold of this. Jesus wants to fulfill scripture in your life. He wants you to be like Abraham. Every day that 100-year-old man,
101, 102, 103, 105, when he stepped out of that tent and little Isaac's hand was in his hand, he was a walking fulfillment of the promises of God. That's right, Sister Shelly Ann. Every time you get in that little car and crank it up, you are a walking fulfillment of the promises of God. God wants to do that for every single one of us. He wants to fulfill his scripture in our life. And everywhere that we go, people can see the word of God walking down the street. People can see the word of God everywhere as we are. Why? Because it is fulfilled in our life. Faith has been made perfect. Somebody shout, perfect faith. This isn't complicated. This is, you have a situation. You apply the word of God to it. You see the word. You hear the word. Or the word may be preached, whatever it may be. And you just simply respond. And so faith cometh by hearing the word of God. It comes. But faith is made perfect in my life when I respond to it. And I truly trust God. In fact, the only way I can know that you have received the faith is by your actions. And most of the time, if I can be as kind as I can to say this, most of the time, our actions let everybody know we didn't receive anything. We heard it. We felt it. We said we believed it, but our actions show different. And so the faith never becomes perfect to produce what it was sent to produce and to do in our lives. Somebody say, Jesus wants to fulfill his word in my life. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. My, what a word. Thank you, Jesus. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believeth God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I don't have time to get on all of that. And he was called the friend of God. But I'll say Brother Sapp was right there on it today. Tonight when he was talking about, it's not who you say I am or how you perceive me. It's how he perceives me. And Abraham wasn't the most perfect man, but in God's eyes, he was righteous. Why was he righteous? Because he responded to the promise, and faith became perfect in his life. Verse 24, you see how then by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messages and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Folks, this is the ingredient to get our faith perfect in our lives. And that is stepping out on what we have heard and what God has given us and receive it.
To the Lord.
To the Lord. He is worthy. Now, just a couple more minutes and I'll be done. I just had a few little thoughts here tonight, tied up. Look at those who Christ recognizes as having faith. Now listen, there were a lot of people who had heard the word. Jesus was a preacher. I mean, he was the preacher. He was the word. He was talking about himself. He's always talking about himself. He was the word manifested, preaching. So
whoever heard, faith came to them. However, the Lord only recognized a few. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 8. It's the centurion here. The centurion answered and said. Now, he came up to the Lord said, the centurion said, my servant is ill and needs to be healed. And the Lord said, lead the way, I'll come. Right? That was the word of Christ. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now you better get this. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse number 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, most of the time, and there's nothing wrong with this teaching. It's right. Go to verse 9. I'm sorry. Go back to verse 9. Most of the time, this is where we preach. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, doeth this, and he doeth it. Most of the time, this is where we launch our teaching out of this passage. And we talk about having revelation of authority and the authority that Christ had. And trust me, that is a powerful teaching out of this passage. But go to verse 10. But the Lord showed me something in this study. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. My question, or the question the Lord asked me is, what was it he had faith in? I have never seen any such great. What did the centurion have faith in? The word. Verse 9 tells us. He said, verse number 8. Tells us, centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come underneath my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Revelation of the power of the spoken word of God. I cannot begin to tell you what happened to me when God brought that out of that scripture. And I know we preach this in different facets and we all preach it and it's great stuff. But listen, we have got to fall back in love with the word of God. We need a fresh revelation of the power of the spoken word of God. I like the way Pastor Sapp said it. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what you think about me. It doesn't matter what. No. When I open up my mouth and the word of God comes out, I'm here to tell you there ain't a devil in hell that can stop it. There's not a sickness that can stand against it. There's not a need that's greater than the spoken word of God. Lord, increase our faith. You don't need more faith. If you've got the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, all you've got to do is open up your mouth and speak the word of God. Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Your word. Your spoken word. Why? Because the word brings faith. And when you respond to that faith, the word of God will change everything. No greater faith have I seen in all of Israel. Why? Because his faith was not in a man. It was in the word of God.
Revelation of the power of God's spoken word. Number two, I only have three of these, so don't get worried. Matthew 15 and 27. The daughter of the woman of Canaan. And she said, "Truth, Lord." Remember what's happening here. She begs Jesus. He ignores her. "My daughter's sick unto death." She bugs the disciples. They say, "Lord, send this woman away." And finally she comes running around. Whew, my God, have mercy. "Lord, Lordy, Lord, Lord, Lord." She comes running around. She falls at his feet and she begins to worship him. And he stops and he says, "I can't give the children's meat to dogs." That didn't bother her. But here's the word the Lord showed me. I want to read this. Oh, God, change us. Listen to the word. And she said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs." Here it is. Here it is. "Which fall from their..." See, that's what moved him. Oh, my Lord, I wish you could get this. That's what moved him. When she made him master, all of a sudden being a Samaritan didn't matter anymore. Being a Gentile didn't matter. It didn't matter what she... When she made him Lord. Yes, but even the dogs eat from their master's table. When she made him master, when she made him Lord of her life, the faith became so powerful that nothing... He crossed dispensation barriers. He crossed over the blood. He crossed everything when she made him Lord. I'm trying to simplify our faith here tonight. Jesus said, "You want your faith to become perfect? Respond to it. You want your faith to cross every barrier, every dispensation of time, everything, every obstacle? Make him Lord of your life. Make him ruler of your finances and see how he'll bless your finances. Make him ruler of this vessel and see what he'll do inside of your body. Make him ruler of your time and watch what God will do with your life." It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Yes, but the dogs eat from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And the only thing she did was made him master. Whew. All right. The last thing, Matthew 9 and 20. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years, she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole.'" Now listen. Verse number 21 is the epitome and the essence of faith. Somewheres she heard. She didn't just see a man walking down the street and decided that's what she was going to do. Somewheres she heard that he was the healer.
that he was this great healer walking down the road. And I don't know, maybe even though it's not pre-recorded, we do know later in Scripture that the Bible talks about that many touching the garments were healed. But this is the one that kind of, Jesus kind of makes an example out of it. A precedence, something for us to follow. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Faith had come to her through the hearing of the word. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now watch. Remember what James said. Without works, your faith is dead. Now when Jesus said, your faith hath made thee whole, he's not just talking at the fact that she believed. He's talking about the fact that she responded to her belief. Because she said that in her heart long before she touched his garment. If it was just the faith, just the acknowledgement that he could, that it would happen if I touch the hem of his garment, then she would have been made whole the moment that thought entered into her mind. Now you better listen to Pastor, because that's where many of us live. That's where we live. We hear the word of God. We believe the word of God. We receive the word of God. And I don't have time to go through the grounds where the seed was cast. Dear Lord knows that would fit. We receive the word of God and believe within our heart that if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But the difference between me and you and her is that she pushed through the crowd until she touched it. When we read, when we think of faith, now here's why I'm going to bring all this together. I'm done. When we think of the word faith, we put barriers around it and we seal it off with just belief. See, to us, having faith means believing. That's what the religious world did to us. You can't be saved by works. You can't be saved without them. See how that felt like a flat balloon? You can't be saved without them. I got news for you. Repentance is a work. So why don't you try to get saved without repenting? Huh? Boy, I didn't know there was that many devils in here. I thought I had saints in this place. Can I get a little bit of response? It's a good thing I'm not talking about Muslims or homosexuals. Y'all all crawl under the chairs. Y'all so controlled by evil spirits. Y'all so afraid of the devil in this world. I'm not afraid of him. I fight him every day. Every day I fight him. I'm going to go home with about 50 of his little imps tonight. We're going to have a party before I go to bed tonight. Before I put them in their cages and lock them up. You fight the devil every day. Not just me. You fight the devil every day. And you win every day. Quit letting him torment your mind. Quit letting him intimidating you. All right, I want to stay focused. I'm getting sidetracked. That's what the world's done to us. But I want you to see the definition of Jesus, the definition of faith according to the word of God. Everybody say perfect faith.
He said, woman, thou faith hath made thee whole. Now, my definition and your definition, or the religious world's definition, she had faith before she ever approached him. The Word of God says it. She believed in her heart. Now, I'm here to tell you that is the definition of faith according to this world. If thou believest in thine heart that he is Lord, thou shalt be saved. That is the constitution of faith according to this religious world. And it is absolutely diabolic. And it's why the church has no power. Because we don't even know the definition of faith. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. It's more than just believing in your heart. It's pushing through the crowd till you touch the hem of the garment. Because faith without works is dead. Let's stand. Faith's not complicated. It's just being willing to do it. For something not complicated, it sure took me a long time to preach it. Everybody say perfect faith. I'm going to give you a perfect example of perfect faith. I want you to go to 1 Kings 18:41. This is it. Let me go. Yep. I end right there. I'm done. A few scriptures and I'm done. You are about to experience perfect faith. Because remember what perfect faith is. Perfect faith is when you hear the word and respond to the word. Now your faith becomes perfect. And God fulfills in your life his word. 1 Kings 18:41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now wait a minute. That is faith without works. He believes. He believes. Are you following me? Do you believe that he believes? You know, this is one of those messages, Brother Sapp, where I wish I was out there and somebody else was up here preaching. Because I would show you what believe means. Dear Lord in heaven. Okay. I did pretty good right there. 9 thoughts went through my head and I didn't say one of them. I am improving. Yes, thank you very much. And Elijah said unto Ahab, to the king, get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. There was no rain. There was no sound. That is our definition of faith. That's where we stop. He believed. And that's why we don't see results. I believe. Really? What have you done about it? What's your response? How have you responded? What's your actions that you believe? I believe this is the only word. This is the saving gospel. If you're not baptized, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to make it into heaven. Really? You really believe that? Then what is your response to that? You let everybody go by you and you never say anything. How much do you really believe this? Okay. All right. I know. That's really mean. Everybody say perfect faith. So Ahab went up. He said, Ahab, go on, get out of here. Eat, drink. You better go. The rain's coming. So Ahab went up. He ate and he drank. He believed the prophet. Elijah went up too. Ahab went up to eat and drink. Welcome to the world. World's coming to an end. They go eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself upon the earth. And he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant. Now here it is. This is perfect faith. Go up now. And look toward the sea.
And he went up and he looked and he came back and he said, there is nothing. Now, if your faith is wrapped up in that upper verse where most of us live, where I just believed in my heart, You come down, you got cancer, you got cirrhosis of the liver, you got a disease, you got something. You come down, preacher preaches the power of God, falls, the word of God moves. We lay hands on you and you believe in your heart. I believe in my heart. And you go, you get the x-ray and the doctor says, it's still there. And that's the end of your faith. But that's not perfect faith. Listen, listen. He didn't send him back one time. That guy went out, came back, nothing. Go again. Went out, came back, nothing. Go again. What is it? Perfect faith. He didn't just believe in here. I'm glad God did it on number 7 because I believe Elijah would have sent him out about 180 times. Go, boy, till you see the rain. Push through the cloud till you touch the garment. Perfect faith never quits. Perfect faith never stops. Perfect faith never gives up. It knocks till it's open. It asks till it gets an answer. It seeks till it's found. It's learned how to put feet upon its belief, how to put action into its words. And it produces rain. Go, 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 go. 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th. I love this part too. He comes running back. He said, I saw this little cloud like the size of a man's. Elijah freaked out. He freaked out. Now, God, we're praying for a big miracle. God does some little bitty tiny thing. We don't even notice it. We're looking for the whole thing when we ought to be freaking out. Because when God starts something, oh, you didn't get that. I said, when God starts something, he will bring it to fruition. He will bring it to an end. He will complete the work. It didn't matter to Elijah that it was the size of a man's hand. He didn't care how big the cloud was. He knew God had done what he promised to do. What would happen in our lives if we started responding to the word of God, responding to faith, and that no matter how little or how insignificant of something that God did, if we started testifying and getting up and saying, look what God did. It'd be like praying. Let's come down to the altar. Real quick though. We're just going to pray for a minute. Now, it's kind of cool outside tonight. Pastor's not going to be running you off at 9. We have to be out of the building at 9, but you can stay out in the parking lot till 10:30. Fellowship all you want. They will lock you up at 10:30, though. We just want to pray together as a church. Just for a moment, we're just going to ask God to help us. Now, that'd be like you needing a $10,000 miracle. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? You need a $10,000 miracle, right? Oh, God. Thank you, sister. That'd be like you need a $10,000 miracle. And then the Lord moves on me and says, I want you to give that precious sister $5 tonight. And I walk up and I say, sister, the Lord wanted me to bless you with with this $5 tonight and walk away. Now she can go, what?
Whoa! Missing a few zeros here, Bo.
Right?
You can go, what? $5? God, I need a $10,000 miracle. Or, keep the dollar, keep the five. Or we can go, woo!
God heard my prayer. God heard my prayer. Look what he's doing. Look what he's doing. Look what he's doing in my life. Look what God's about to do. I want to tell you, if you get excited like Elijah, the cloud will come. The cloud will come. The rain will fall. Your faith will be made perfect by your response.
Come on, let's send up prayer right now for a moment, will you? Send up prayer. Send up prayer. Let's begin to ask God to help us. Help us with our faith, oh God. Help us to respond. Help us to have perfect faith. Come on. That's what I want you to pray. Help me to have perfect faith, God. Faith that I respond to. Faith that I move in. Faith that I work in. Oh God, help this church blow our minds with your word. Blow our minds with your power. Blow our minds with your anointing, oh God. We need you. We need you. We need you to help us. We need you to help us. Oh God, wash across this congregation. Move across this congregation. Bless us tonight. Help us, Almighty God. Help us understand faith. Help us understand the revelation of faith. What faith is all about. It's not just believing. It's responding to that belief. That is perfect faith. Oh God, help us. While you pray a moment longer, God's going to lay something on your heart. He's going to put something in you. He's going to show you how you can respond to the faith that's come to you about a need in your life. What you can do, what you can say, where you can go. Oh yeah, God's going to show you. And I'm here to tell you tonight in the Holy Ghost that when you respond and your faith becomes perfect, every mountain's going to be removed. Every obstacle's going to be shoved out of the way. It's called faith. It's called perfect faith. It's called perfect faith. It's called perfect faith. It's called perfect faith. Whew. Whew. That's how God works. I gave away five, he gave me 10. Woo! Come here, Brianna. Come here, darling. I want to bless you in Jesus' name. I love you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's a mighty God. Come on. Come on. You say, Pastor, I'm broke. Start giving. Pastor, I'm broke. Start giving. Start passing it out. Start letting it go. See what God will do. Why? What's happening? You're perfecting your faith. I believe God is a provider, but I can't hoard everything. I got to dig in and let it go. Then my faith will be perfected and God will bless. My God, I feel something in this place. I feel something in this place.